This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasothi. It's Father's Day this Sunday, the 18th of June, and in for his monthly show, Dr. John Benloy, US licensed marriage and family therapist. And our topic for the day is, are men happier working full time? So this is based on an article, and Dr. John Ben's actually going to tell us a little bit more about it. How are you today, Dr. John Ben?
I'm doing well.
Fantastic. And tell us about this article. I mean, what was the premise of this study? What did the researcher examine? I knew it was a PhD student.
And yes, it was a dissertation coming out of the Netherlands, Erasmus University, I believe. It's a pretty large study looking at several different questions. But we're discussing today on basically of 1/4 of the study, the fourth study, which looked at the relationship between working hours and happiness for men and women in dual earner couples.
Right. And they found that men were less happy spending time at home.
No, not quite. They were just happy. They were okay working full time.
Yes.
That's what it found.
See, that's my interpretation and yours, which is exactly the same, actually. So if you have a question, we'd like to know if you have a longer time to play a more active role in family life as a man, as a father. What is that something that you actually want? I mean, be honest. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you think otherwise. You don't have to give us your name either. Give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-1000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. What did you think of the study?
I think it's pretty predictable. I was a little bit surprised because I always thought that out of the context of some of the European countries, there'd be a little bit more a sense of equality. But actually, I discovered from looking at this study that, in Germany, in Netherlands, it's the inequality between gender norms are a little bit greater when it comes to parental roles.
What sort of inequality?
Yeah, so basically a bit more traditional compared to the Scandinavian countries where men are sort of more expected to be the breadwinner and women stay home, take care of the children. I didn't realize that until I looked at this study in particular.
But, you're very much Asian yourself.
Let's not talk about me.
it's the other extreme.
I'm hopelessly traditional, but I'll talk as if I'm not.
Yes, so traditional gender roles, what are those?
So
educate me.
Yeah, I mean, men go out and hunt, right? Women forage and take care of babies, essentially.
Traditional that's what we're gender talking about. Roles.
Yeah, men go out and work and compete and earn money, and women take care of children.
Okay, so those are the traditional gender roles. We're definitely moving away from that.
Yes.
Women go to work as well now.
Yes.
But we still don't see... as there are men who play a more active role in family life, but I think we can do a lot better as a society, don't you think?
What do you mean by better?
As in play an active role, more quality time. You can start with the fact that our paternal leave in Malaysia is only 2 days. Mm. Then it's up to the discretion of the companies. For example, for us, it's 2 weeks. With some other multinationals, it's a lot longer.
Yes.
So that's a sign. 2 days paternal leave.
Yes.
What does that say?
That says that...
And everybody seems to be okay with it. I don't see anybody violently protesting that they'd like a longer time off. But would you like a longer time off? Well, give us a call and tell us how you feel, 03-77-109-1000. What do you think?
I think it's good to have pro-family policies because ultimately, as a country, you want the people who are healthy and able to contribute not only to the economic well-being of the country, but also to the social health of the country. Mm-hmm. So being able to provide good care to your children, especially when they're young, ensures that you have the family bonding that's necessary to continue in that good parental influences on children.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to throw this conversation a little off track and tell me if this has anything to do with the fact that we could do a lot more in terms of fathers playing a more active role in family life. A survey was done by a vacation rental company called HomeAway, and they surveyed more than 900 people in Hong Kong, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and Taiwan. And the survey found that more than half of the Malaysian dads surveyed were among those who often receive nothing for Father's Day. And when they spoke to the fathers, more than 70% of the fathers were hoping to travel more with their loved ones, but because of busy schedules and affordability, they weren't. So is this an indicator at all of a larger problem?
Yes, I would say so. Especially if fathers are not being recognized. I think of, I'm going to throw this out there. It's really fresh in my mind, even as I say it, is there is a change that's taking place, particularly here in Malaysia, whereby we're still sort of adjusting to what's happening globally and its influence on us. And we're not quite figuring out how to do that. And so I think, people who are, I suppose, exposed to the West, exposed to the importance of income, gender equality, to the well-being of the nation as a whole, are starting to give voice to the importance of a more balanced society as a whole. So if fathers, particularly in Malaysia, are not being recognized for number one, not given the time to be able to take care of their families and not being able to be recognized in those roles, then it is a problem.
It's a wider problem. What are your thoughts on active fatherhood through policy and legislation? And the reason I ask you this is because if you look at Scandinavian countries, they're leading the way with something called the daddy quota. Yeah. And the daddy quota is something the government introduced in 1995, where fathers were given 30 days leave, which only they could use to encourage them to stay at home. And failure to take this leave resulted in a loss of that month's leave. Then in 2002, they extended that leave to 60 days. It's 90 days now. With this daddy quota, they managed to retain more women in the workforce. And now 9 in 10 Swedish fathers take leave. Of course, initially the take-up rate was low, but now 9 in 10 fathers. So should active fatherhood be, advocated through policy and legislation? I mean, in a way, you're forcing them to do it.
Well, I think policy and legislation can do is to give an impetus, for companies, for society to be able to, say, rally around a cause, so to speak. There are different ways in which you can enact a policy. It doesn't have to be forced. It could be, tax breaks or something like that, right? Which could be encouraged rather than the other word for it? Enforced or not enforced? What's the word?
Legislated.
Legislated. I think it's important because when the country starts to have policies, then it does allow the country as a whole to then come up with creative means to address the lack of attention to fatherhood, let's say. However, having said that, thinking systemically across the whole country, we also have to think about the kind of workforce we have, right? If we are giving 90 days, daddy quota, parental leave for fathers, then how is that going to impact work? How is that going to impact our economy? Are we ready as a country by and large for staying home work, part-time work? For over 7-8 years now, since coming back to Malaysia, I've wondered why we don't do that. In my company, I'm quite flexible with my time, with my staff, because I make sure that it's people who are responsible and can do the job well. They have integrity, right? Then I can give them the freedom to be able to manage their time. Now, do we have that workforce in Malaysia that's able to manage themselves?
I think we do. It's just that I think we're not a trusting society.
Yeah. Why are we not trusting?
Yeah.
Why don't we trust people if people have integrity?
Yeah.
I wrestle with that because I do hear again and again, and that, you know, a lot of, you know, local staff can't be trusted. Because if you give them more time, they'll want more, even more time. They're not They're not motivated intrinsically to do the work. Well, then I ask myself, why is that? And how can we fix that problem? Because I truly believe that when people do like their work, work becomes play.
Yeah.
You know, like what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
And the companies who have implemented, you know, working from home for mums and stuff like that,
yeah,
will tell you that.
Is that in the minority, though?
Yes. Only a minority may end up being a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
But majority know how to manage that.
But how many companies in Malaysia allow that?
Yeah, so that's something to be spoken. Yes. We need to find out, but I can imagine it's few and far between.
So I guess from my perspective then, I mean, it's nice to be able to say, okay, we want policies that can, you know, provide for better time and resources for men to be fathers, you know, and spend their time taking care of their children. But we have to look at all the various sectors and how does it balance out as a whole.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, isn't it? I mean, you need to look at the whole picture before you actually think about it. But when we come back, we'll find out how the family, how does a father contribute towards family dynamics? How does that change when a father becomes more involved at home? Dr. John Benloy, US licensed marriage and family therapist, in the studio with me. We are discussing whether or not men are happier working full time, whether or not they'd like to spend a little bit more time at home, given that liberty, because it's Father's Day this coming Sunday, the 18th of June. If you have a question, give us a call, the number 0377 109 000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 0162019 000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's Health and Living. Dr. John Benloy, US licensed marriage and family therapist, in the studio. We are discussing Father's Day, which happens to be this Sunday, the 18th of June, whether or not men would be happier spending more time at home. They seem to be apparent. There's a study that was carried out by a PhD student. It was his thesis, and that was in the US, am I correct?
Netherlands.
In the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And he found that men seem to be happier working full time. As opposed to
women.
They don't really have a choice if somebody is doing it. You know, I've always wondered, I mean, we're talking in the Malaysian context. In Malaysia, we have the liberty of support when it comes to parenting. We have grandparents jumping in to help with raising the children. We have support in terms of domestic help.
How I'm just curious whether you know how widespread that is. I mean, how many families overall actually do have access to support like that?
I don't know. I have no statistics. Okay. But even if it's not grandparents, you have domestic help.
Yeah.
And many families depend on domestic helpers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that then the fathers tend to think that, you know, things are taken care of at home,
mm-hmm.
so my role does not have to be as active as it would be. I mean, if I compare, say, for an example, families in Australia,
yeah.
It's costly to have domestic help. Not everyone can afford it.
Yes.
And as a result, father and mother have to contribute actively in the home.
Yes.
So do you think, I'm just trying to compare in terms of support, whether or not fathers here tend to take a step back because that support exists?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just speaking out of personal experience, I did a lot more around the house when I was in the U.S. Than I do now. You know, when I'm home, actually, I really miss cooking because I love to cook.
But who says you cannot continue cooking?
It's just sort of specialized, you know. And then if you ask my helper, if you tell her that I'm going to start cooking, she might freak out.
Excuses, Dr. John.
Her role.
That's just an excuse.
Oh, she will freak out. No. She will freak out. She was like, no, I'm supposed to do it. This is my role. She's very good at what she does, so. It takes pride in it.
So there you go.
But I do miss cooking.
You're a perfect example of who I'm talking about.
Yes. And but that also allows me, the man who, you know, works full time plus. It's but I enjoy it for some strange reason. To focus on other things.
Such as
work. And more work.
So coming back to that active role in the family life. Mm-hmm. How much of a role do you actually play?
I provide. Mm-hmm. I told you, I'm hopelessly traditional. Mm. You know, I may speak like I'm not. I act in a certain way. It doesn't mean I think that it is for everybody. And that needs to be very clear. And I'm also not against traditional roles, so long as it works for the family. Ill health for me, relationally, is when family members become very rigid in their roles and they can't flex. I'm very happy if my wife were to be able to be the full-time worker and earn enough for all of us.
That's what you all say.
Oh, it's true, though. It's true. But then I will have a lot of things I want to do, right? That's not necessarily related to making money.
So then the poor full-time wife, she's gone back to work, she's earning the money, and then she has to juggle the home life as well.
No, because
that wouldn't be fair. Hobbies.
No, that... That wouldn't be fair to say, because one of the hobbies could be taking care of the house. Mm. You know, what's really interesting... this is becoming personal. What's really interesting is, I studied... My department was family social science, you know, traditionally home economics. I jokingly say sometimes that I have a PhD in home economics.
Really?
Yeah, masa.
Yes.
Yes.
Cooking, science from Matanga.
That's right. Mm. That's my PhD. And... a lot of my male friends were people from very family-centered men. And I felt ashamed because I wasn't anything, I wasn't really like them. You know, I was sort of studying so that I can get back and work and contribute to society in significant ways. But then I always felt a little bit less than compared to my friends because they not only studied, they also took care of the kids and then they all took care of the homes, everything. But of course, their wives were, one was a surgeon, one was a lawyer, one was an accountant. You know, that was a bunch of my friends there. And then coming back, it's very different because my male peers here are working people. And suddenly I feel like, I'm kind of back home. To my roles, so to speak. That shifting is hard, I think, for men, you know. And so, you know, when we think about Father's Day, and I think of some of the men who have traditionally then sort of stayed in that sort of work mode and haven't really experienced a shift, and the children in this context sort of expecting more from fathers, more emotional involvement, more sort of nurturing support, starts to ignore dad. And more in the media, you start to see sort of fathers who are much more nurturing, you know, coming to the fore. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there's a workshop for them that I could run.
Yes, you got an idea there.
Yeah.
How much of a role did your father play in your parenting style?
Quite significant. I like to say that, I like to tell people, I should say, that if it weren't for my studies in family studies, in family therapy, I probably would have replicated what my father did even more than I do now. Because of my studies, I am much more aware of how I am as a father and more able to stop myself from just doing that which I see, or rather I saw my father do. So very importantly, a lot of men get their identity from their fathers. And if their fathers stay home and nurturing and economically successful enough, you may find that the boys then grow up to be men with sort of very well-balanced lives. If they're not economically successful, sometimes they will turn around the other way. So being influenced by your father is not just following after his footsteps, but sometimes going the opposite way. Mm-hmm. But both are being influenced by your father when you don't have conscious choice over your own behaviors.
I understand there was a study carried out in Malaysia on fathers and parenting styles. You want to share that with us?
A few, actually, but there's two that are more recent. One is, both have actually come out of the University Pertanian, sorry,
Putra,
University
Malaysia.
Putra, Malaysia. Mm-hmm. One is by Rumaya Johari, Siti Nur Yaakob, and Mansur Abu Talib. Mm-hmm. And that is 2013, looking at the father involvement among Malay Muslims in Malaysia. The other one, 2013, by Chi Yi Hong, Rozuma Baharuddin, and Zairat Hussein, was looking at fathers' parenting styles in Chinese families in urban Malaysia. So just reading off from their abstracts here, for the Malay Muslims' father involvement, the Malay Muslim fathers who perceive their own fathers to have been highly involved in raising them, who experience high marital satisfaction and who are better educated, and this is important, and who have fewer children, tend to be more involved in their children's lives. So number one, their fathers were more involved in raising them. Number two, they're more happily married. Number three, they're better educated and less children. These Malay men from a Selangor population of study are more involved in their children's lives. And in terms of the Chinese families in urban Malaysia, that one actually was looking at parenting styles, and I was shocked. So it looked at parenting styles, as you know probably, that there are three sort of basic ones, right? Authoritative, mm-hmm. authoritarian, and permissive. So the good one is the authoritative, mm-hmm. With a tiff, with a T. I like to think of it as teaching and training, mm-hmm. as opposed to authoritarian, which is sort of ruling and reigning, sort of controlling, coercing your children by force without teaching them. 34% of men could be described as authoritarian compared to 37% authoritative. 34% compared to 37%. I was shocked. And 29% could be described as permissive.
34%.
So 34% of Chinese men in urban areas in Malaysia that are very controlling.
But are you surprised?
Children. I thought.
I mean, coming from an Indian family who's not, you don't have research on it, but going back culturally and, mm-hmm. you know, how, you know, my grandparents were and all of that, are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised, but to actually see the numbers, mm-hmm. you know, of survey, then my eyes open up. You know, before that, you're sort of guessing, right? That's why I like to actually look at the research studies. Then we can actually see the numbers. So, yeah, you have 10 people, you know, 3.4 of them, you know, are really controlling of their children, and then 2.9 of them are permissive, let them do anything. We only have 3.7 have healthy parenting styles amongst fathers, Chinese fathers.
And my guess is if you were to look at the women of the races, it'd probably be the same.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something interesting, you know, mm-hmm. something to look at, isn't mm-hmm. it? So, I mean, if you are authoritarian, what are the red flags? And what can you do to sort of move away from being that authoritarian parent?
I think the mindset is basically, what's interesting also is, just sidetrack back to the Muslim study, mm-hmm. Muslim Malay study, is that when there are more children, the fathers also tend to be, or is it the Chinese one?
Am I no, it was the Malay Muslim.
Yeah, when there are more children, they do get a little bit more authoritarian.
I see.
Yeah, so there is some kind of a stress response. You know, I can't handle all of them. Yeah. You just listen, right? Or I'm going to, you know, punish you. So basically, the difference, I think, in very concrete ways is to think, am I nurturing my child to develop self-discipline? Or am I forcing my child to obey what I say? There is a big difference in there. When your child wants to do something because the child wants to do it, then you know that that's the behavior that they own for themselves. So what you want to do is instill good and productive behavior in your children that they own for themselves. And by simply forcing them or scolding them to do it, they may actually go behind your back and do all the things you don't want them to do, right? You know, I don't know, stealing, smoking, mm-hmm. you know, all the behaviors that would contribute to their ill health, yeah, in the long run.
And do you think this will just continue with the children going forward? As in they would pick up their father's parenting style?
the tendency is high, right? There is a tendency for us to follow what we know or to rebel against what we know. But we also have to look at the cultural context of parenting. Yeah, not all authoritarian parenting may be, inappropriate if the culture as a whole is quite authoritarian. So we also have to think about that.
Okay, as a whole. So how do you think that the family dynamics will change when fathers are more involved at home?
Depends on how they're involved. That's important, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Depends also on the mother, right? So now we're talking more clinically or more sort of individual families. So father involvement cannot be seen outside of the context of parental relationships between husband and wife or caregivers, right? So husband involvement need to add to harmony rather than disharmony. So you do have people who say for whatever reason they stop working for a period of time and they're home more. It actually creates stress. I have had clients come in because of that, because there is a system that's running well, so to speak, and then when the fathers come back and sort of stay around the house more, it disrupts it. And if the family cannot adjust to that, then they can get stuck and things can go pretty bad. Mm-hmm.
And we see more and more, parents, father and mother sort of, working abroad and, there is this separation and then they back for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and then they go off again.
That's right.
So that does happen quite often today.
That's a little bit more of a holiday visit. So it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. All things being equal, more father involvement in positive ways can really benefit the family. The biggest one probably is, outside of household help, it's more help, more relief to the wife, say, who might be staying at home with the younger children. When you are having more sleep, a bit more rested, then that's going to affect how you are with your children. That's important. If you have two or more children, having two parents, go out, say, to shopping or whatever, it's a lot easier to handle than one parent with two or three kids. Having the father at home also provides a male sense of interaction for the boys and also for the girls. My wife always reminds me, don't forget about your daughter. She also needs to see what a man is like. Mm-hmm. Right? I always think, I have to be there for my son. Right, so my wife reminds me that. It's a male thing, I think. We need some callers to support me here. I'm starting to feel like I'm put on the spot.
Yes, you are. What were you expecting when you suggested this topic?
Call in. What's the number again?
0377 109000.
There you go.
You can WhatsApp 0187899.
Come on, man. You need more voices.
Yes.
Mira is a very powerful female voice.
The man is under pressure. Well, it's Father's Day. Come on. You want to have your children appreciate you a little bit more. You don't want to be part of that statistic based on the survey that Malaysians, they found in Malaysian dads that most of them didn't receive anything for Father's Day. Well, I don't know whether you should be receiving stuff.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, so how material should you be on Father's Day?
Yeah.
We'll come back and find out more up next. If you have a question, once again, call us 0377 109000, tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp.
Especially if you're a father.
Yeah, 0187898899. Good afternoon. It's Health and Living. I'm Mira Sivisirthi. In the studio with me, Dr. John Benloy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist. We are discussing the role of the father. It's Father's Day this coming Sunday, the 18th of June. And we've been going through quite a lot of, we've covered quite a lot of ground, actually, whether or not the father should be spending, or how does he participate actively in family life, whether or not he really wants to do that. Because a study is based on a thesis done in Norway. Am I correct? Did I get that country correct?
Netherlands.
The Netherlands. Okay.
Dutch. It's Dutch. Okay. By Sean de hoon.
The hoon, yes, exactly.
The hoon.
And he says that in this recent study that men are happier when they work full-time as opposed to what we would think. We covered ground on whether or not active fatherhood should be legislated and made policy. And different parenting styles in Malaysia, the Malay Muslim as well as the Chinese, studies done at University Putra Malaysia. So we're coming now to, I want to talk to you about the father and son relationship. We left off you saying you always felt, feel you need to be there for your son. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is very anecdotal and it's just my observation. I find that the communication between father and son tends to be very different. Guarded
compared
to the father and daughter relationship,
right?
Very tense, sometimes very guarded.
Yes,
why is that?
Yes, probably because we older men haven't really learned to talk children talk for a while, you know. And if we're not home enough when they're younger, and you know, learning how to listen and engage with children who are much younger, talking children talk, we forget. So, and then when the boys grow up, they sort of have to we have to talk about stuff, work, you know, football, you know, just kind of that, right? Rather than how are you feeling, you know, what's it like for you, this or that. I was talking about me and my son now. Talking with my son, for me, feels very... I think it's normal. You know, we'll have conversations sometimes going in depth. But if you ask my wife, she'll be, you know, he's not really opening up to you.
Yeah.
For me, he's open enough. I think we get along fine. Mm-hmm. Right. So maybe there's also, I don't think so. What he chooses to share with his mom and what he chooses to share with me, so long as I'm open and I sense that he feels I'm open, is his prerogative. I don't necessarily think that my level or type of conversation with him should necessarily be the same as him and his mom.
So that's a good starting point.
What do you mean?
As in, to accept the fact that your male child will probably open up more to mommy compared to daddy.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then your relationship with your daughter.
Same thing, actually.
Really?
Yeah. But my daughter is much more extroverted. So she'll talk. She'll express herself. The world will know.
I think that's a female thing.
Yes.
Not just your daughter, actually.
Yes.
So that makes it a lot easier for you?
It is easier.
To communicate.
All
as
I have
well.
To do is sit there with her, and then it'll start coming out.
let's go through the fact that if there is an absent dad, dad's not around, either
yes.
he's passed on or, you know, single mom, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And times like this during Father's Day, I you know, often feel it's unfair towards this section of the community. It can be quite difficult. I mean, you open up your Facebook page and your status is filled with people posting pictures of themselves with their fathers
yes.
and, you know, going in. It's
right.
hard to miss, you
right.
know. What's your advice to...
Yeah.
Children who have an absent dad.
Yeah, there are father role figures. I think you know in across our lives. You know, as humans, we need a mother. We need a father. Whether or not that father is a biological father of ours or some kind of a mentor. I was at a Mother's Day celebration last month, where not only were biological mothers celebrated, but also godmothers and, you know, mother mentors, right? So you had women who were childless or not even married, you know, stood up and got recognized by that. And I think that's important equally also for fathers, right? We don't really think about male mentor figures as fathers. But sometimes I think maybe it's, I don't know. Because my viewpoint is very international. I kind of see the whole world. Sometimes I'm not even sure what's Malaysia or what's somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I think the father role has been attacked and is becoming less and less dominant. Perhaps maybe not in the traditional faiths. They're still, you know, supporting that. But I think the movement towards more equality and liberalness, which I support, but it does have an impact on fatherhood. And maybe men haven't really developed the thinking behind what does it mean now to be a man if I am in an equal relationship? What does it mean to be a father if I am not providing economically, right? And then men as men being more wired towards being competitive, we put each other down, right? When you are not fulfilling that sort of stereotypically male roles, you get looked down and you feel embarrassed. So I think it's important for men to talk about this, not just to talk, but to break some bricks around over this.
Yes, why not?
And have a drink.
Yes, yeah. This coming Sunday. But Father's Day, do you not think it's just a Western concept?
Yeah, I do struggle with that. And I wondered about, the statistic that you talked about how many was it?
More than half of the Malaysian dads.
Yeah.
Did not receive anything for Father's Day.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a Western concept, really. Even when I was growing up, Father's Day felt a little bit odd compared to Chinese New Year, compared to birthdays. We celebrated those. But Father's Day always felt a little bit awkward. It's sort of fathers don't really need that. And honestly, if my children didn't say Happy Father's Day, I'd actually be okay too. But I wouldn't be okay if they didn't wish their mothers Happy Mother's Day. I don't know.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm a father every day.
That's true, so, and we're mothers every day as well.
But my birthday, yeah, you better say Happy Birthday to me. That's personal.
And so, all these material gifts, as I said earlier.
That's the other thing. What can you give to a father who brings everything
back? Yeah, a belt, a wallet.
Yes.
What else?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
See, that's always a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me, what would you like?
What would I like?
Mm.
I don't know. I haven't
something
thought
that
about
it. That your children can afford.
Something that my children can afford. What would I like? They never listen to any of my shows. I would love it if they listened to one whole show.
Why would they want to do that?
For Father's Day.
Oh, okay.
That's all I ask for.
You decide on the podcast.
1 hour of sacrifice.
Poor things, really. But does it matter to you? You just said it didn't really matter to you in terms of a gift.
No, it doesn't matter at all, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly.
Because I had one father who actually sent me this article, which meant that he felt it. I mean, why send me an article of this survey of the Malaysian dads?
Yes.
If you didn't feel.
Well, he may feel it.
Yeah, and I'm sure you will too.
Just because I don't feel it and I haven't felt it in... When my kids were younger, yes, because I think it was meaningful for them. At this point, no, I want to see respect for father every day. So actually, I demanded for 365. Is this 365 days a year? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're the authoritarian dad, really.
Rule and reign.
Yeah. The Chinese dad that you just described.
Yeah.
That you're the 30, one of the 34%. You make up that 34%, actually.
Well, let's just say maybe.
Right. So, from all of us here, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
And would you have a message on the whole topic?
Yeah. I'd like to speak to the fathers, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That it's really important, I think, as society continues to change, right, that we find camaraderie amongst fathers to be able to talk and compare and try to understand how to make sense of what it means to be a father, especially in light of, a generation ago, Malaysia is very different from today. So the support is really going to come from men.
Really? And you think when you sit around in a boys' night out, you're going to talk about fatherhood?
I do, with my friends. We're different, right? So we make conversations intentional. And you can do that around teh tarik, if you bring it up. And if you steer, ask the right questions, steer the conversation. But just don't expect it to sound like a bunch of women talking. It's not going to sound the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's going to be practical.
Thank you very much. I'll get you after this.
Welcome.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. John Benloy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist on Father's Day on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.